Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. All right. Welcome to episode 585. I am very excited to have my new friend, Brian Ward, here with me. And Brian and I met on Clubhouse, which is the hottest new app that everybody's talking about. So if you haven't heard of it, check it out for sure, and then connect with both of us there. But let me tell you a little bit about Brian. He is a host, the host and creator of the Dad Up podcast. He's also a husband and a father, a Marine Corps veteran, a championship basketball coach, and a marathon runner. And Brian has two boys who are now grown, and he's built a brand around being the best dad he can be. And all of us, well, all of us dads can be for our kids and our family. And Brian was actively involved in his boys' lives, not only as a dad, but a coach. And we're going to chat a little bit about that today. And each week on his show, the Dad Up podcast, Brian brings on high-profile guests to share their experiences, tips, and tools they have used as a parent. His Dad Up podcast is for dads, about dads, being dads. And you can check out all of Brian's social media accounts by going to his Dad Up podcast page on Instagram. So welcome, Brian. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you, Erin. Appreciate having me. I was excited when you reached out and been looking forward to it. So I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to this.
Me too. I'm excited to talk today. So one of the things that... One of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because I love hearing the dad's perspective. So many times as a parent coach and a family coach, I have moms who reach out to me. Mm-hmm. And one of the common things that they struggle with and they want help with is they say, my husband and I are not on the same parenting page. What do we do? What do I do? Help me. So what are your thoughts about that as a dad and a husband?
That's a great question. And, you know, it's something that all of us parents and, you know, that we struggle with our spouses. It's not uncommon. So the first thing I would say is you're not alone. It's something that all couples struggle with when there's this dynamic of adding children to the mix. But the one thing that I would say is it's something that my wife and I have always tried to work on. And again, we're not perfect. We've made plenty of mistakes and we still make mistakes. The one thing that I would say is, you know, when we're facing a challenge with our kids or even, you know, whatever it is, some sort of obstacle with our children, that we should never try to communicate with each other in the presence of our kids. We want to make sure that we keep those conversations private. So that way, as couples, we can navigate and come to an agreement. And we're not kind of trying to do that navigating in front of them because you're going to send the children mixed messages. For our boys in particular, if we're having an issue with them, you know, they're both older now, 22 and 19. So there's not a whole lot that, you know, there's still parenting going on, but there's not a whole lot of it right now because they are adults. But as they were growing up, if I didn't agree with something that my wife felt a certain scenario or situation needed to be handled, I always made sure that we met later privately and discussed it so that way we could come back to it and work it out. And you're not always going to agree. Sometimes you're going to have to agree to disagree, but you both have to try to get to kind of the same page, at least be near the same page, kind of like, you know, as you had indicated earlier to me, before this started with the book analogy, if we could try to get near to the same page, then we can work through, we'll have an easier time of working through whatever it is that we're trying to work through. So that's something that my wife and I have always tried to do. And again, we're not perfect. We've made plenty of mistakes along the way, and we have to give ourselves some grace. We're gonna mess up. The other thing that my wife and I do, and we've done this for several years now, is we actually have a marriage coach that we see monthly. And it's not because we're having any issues in the marriage. It's because we want to make sure that we don't have any issues in the marriage. So we see our marriage coach once a month, and we visit her on Zoom. Sometimes we go to her office, but you know, during the pandemic, we've been on Zoom. But it's just, we talk about different things and how our relationship's going. And it's just, you know, everybody's got, you know, you see like professional athletes or people that work out in the gym, they all have these trainers or coaches. And we see people that have personal coaches. Why not have a marriage coach as well? Somebody that can kind of keep you guys aligned as a couple. So that's something that my wife and I have done for several years now. And it's been wonderful. We actually enjoy sitting down with our coach and kind of going through things, even if there might be issues that we have to work out. But most of the time, it's just to help us kind of make sure that there aren't any issues. So as couples, to make a, you know, shorten my answer a little bit, kind of get to the point, as couples, we need to make sure that we are communicating in private to work out any issues that there may be and kind of try to get at least near the same page with the other person before we speak to our children or work out any issues that they may be having.
I think that is tremendous advice. I hear a lot of times, or I even see, you know, in a social setting or a family gathering or whatever it is, party, I see where parents will have something's happening with one of the children, and then one parent handles it one way and the other parent tries to override them or, you know, kind of throws them under the bus or pulls the rug out from under them and undermines them and says, well, you shouldn't, blah, 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 whatever. And they're giving some alternate version of how they're going to handle it. And the child is sitting right there. And I think, oh gosh, you're just kind of neutralizing all of your role, your authority, mm-hmm. your place in the world, in their world as the parents. So I think that's really, really fabulous advice.
Yeah. And I think as men, you know, we have this, I guess men, we kind of have to carry this ego about us, right? We have to learn to set our ego aside, and we have to learn to, you know, not a lot of men really understand how important it is to communicate with our spouses about certain topics, whether it's issues you're dealing with your kids, whether it's finances, it could be anything. But as men, we have to learn to set the ego aside and share with your wife how you're feeling, or share with your husband how you're feeling. So those kind of things are important. And again, I'm not perfect. You know, I make plenty of mistakes. My wife makes plenty of mistakes, but we are learning and growing through this thing called life about how to kind of better our communication skills.
And I also have to say, I love the fact that you guys have a marriage coach. How cool is that?
It's really cool. We enjoy it. We enjoy it. Yeah. It's something that, I think we've been seeing a marriage coach for almost 3 years, I want to say. And
wow.
it's just been a great, great part of our relationship, our life. We enjoy it. We look forward to it.
And I would, it sounds like it's very proactive on your parts, both of your parts, to not just kind of coast until a problem arises, but to take charge of your relationship and make sure that you're giving it the care and attention and compassion and kindness that it deserves so that you can navigate anything that comes up down the line.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it's, we don't see a marriage coach because we're having issues. We see a marriage coach so we don't have those issues. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are times where we're meeting with the coach and the first thing she'll ask us is, how are you guys doing? And if there's anything that's kind of tugging at our hearts, something that we may need to bring up that we find kind of a challenge to bring up, you know, privately, we'll share it with our marriage coach and, you know, kind of work through those things. But for the most part, most of the conversation is pretty open and free. She gives us tips and suggestions, and she's helped me become a better communicator. So it's just, it's really cool. And like I said, it's something that it's part of our month that we actually really look forward to is, you know, that hour long discussion that we can just kind of be open and free. And it's funny, my wife always says, I think you open up a lot more to our coach than you do, you know, to me. And it's not that I don't want to open up more to my wife. It's just that, I don't know, it's almost like a safe environment to just kind of share how we're feeling. And in turn, it's helped me learn to open up more to my wife. So it's been great.
That's really beautiful. I absolutely love that. And I can imagine that that's a very safe, it feels like a safe space mm-hmm. that the coach creates, because you know that you have that person there that if you or your wife share something that triggers the other one, or they have some kind of an intense response to, you have that neutral third person to help guide you compassionately through that. It's really awesome.
Yeah. And she's had, there have been meetings that we have had privately with our coach as well, because if there's might be anything that we may need to talk about, our coach has reached out to us and said, hey, do you want to talk about this just the two of us, or do you want your spouse with us as well? So there's been times where we've talked to our coach privately, and then we have another meeting later on where we get together, the three of us, and talk about what it is, whatever the issue was or is. So, but it's been great. We enjoy it.
That's fantastic. I love it. And it kind of makes me think about the analogy of sports, and you mentioned like a personal trainer or a professional a sports coach to help someone level up their sports, whatever their game is. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I have been saying, I told you before we started recording that I coached my kids in soccer and my husband coaches our kids currently in volleyball. And one of the things that I've been saying for years is, especially watching, we have a son who plays volleyball in college right now, currently, and watching him through the intensity of the high school team over the years, it really showed me, I didn't feel it as much when we were coaching them in the youth sports when they were younger, mm-hmm. but when they get to those intense levels, I've been saying, gosh, I think every team should have a sports psychologist on staff, every school, every team, every club, what have you. And I was just saying to my daughter the other day, because she's in her high school volleyball season, I was saying, sports are really like, I believe they're like 50% skill and 50% mental mindset. Because if you could have all the talent you want, but if you don't have the right mindset, or you're down on yourself, or you don't know how to kind of overcome those mental hurdles, mm-hmm. then it's going to lower your skills. You're just not going to be as effective of an athlete. Yeah. And I think it's interesting when I kind of try to tie all this together, the idea of having a marriage coach to guide you proactively through your relationship is very cool. And it's kind of similar to having, you know, a team having a sports psychologist or a mindset coach, let's say, mm-hmm. to help guide them through being an athlete and being a teammate. And how do you level up as an individual, as a team? Because a marriage is a team. How does your team level up if you're playing a sport? How do you overcome those challenges? You know, if you mess up, if you lose, how do you kind of get your mind in a better place to overcome those challenges?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as a coach, I've coached for 18 years. And as a coach, one of the things that we, you know, you use the analogy of, you know, 50% mindset, 50% skill. We actually say 80% mindset, 20% skill.
I like that better.
Because, you know, honestly, you can have all the skill in the world. Like you had said, you can have all the skill in the world, but if you're not there mentally, you're not going to perform at an elite level or at the mm-hmm. performance that we need you to perform at. So that's why we use the 80-20 rule. But I always say that I like to have, you know, when I coach players, I like to have a player that doesn't necessarily have all the talent, but is coachable.
Oh, yes.
Over a player that has all the talent, but isn't coachable. Because coachability comes back to that mindset. How coachable are you? Are you focused? Can you pay attention? Can you follow instruction? Those things are all super important when you're coaching an athlete. And, you know, kind of going back to what you were saying about the, you know, our marriage coach, it's the same kind of thing. Are we in it? Are we as a couple, are we in it mentally? Or are we just here as physical beings being a couple in a home? So it's all about how are we mentally as a couple. So it's super important. And I recommend it for couples to have a marriage coach. I mean, athletes have coaches. People that go to the gym have coaches. Professional athletes, even though they're professional athletes, they still have coaches that they work with, trainers that they work with. So it's super important. But yeah, coaching has been a huge part of my life, something I really enjoy.
So let's change and switch tracks over to the coaching world. Sure. And the youth sports and athlete world. This is one of my other passions, being a coach and having kids who are athletes. I don't know if you've ever heard of John O'Sullivan, but he wrote a book called Changing the Game. And it's about returning sports, youth sports, to our kids and kind of letting them be the driver of the bus, so to speak. And he has a lot of guidance for coaches and parents, how to be a good coach of a young player and a parent of a young athlete. And one of his biggest lessons, one of the biggest messages he wants to tell parents is the most important message you can give to your kids as a parent of them being an athlete is just saying, I love to watch you play. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how he did some research, or he talks about research that was done where they interviewed athletes. What's the worst part of being an athlete? And the kids almost across the board say, the drive home with my parents. Because they're stuck in the car and the parent is, you know, doing the play-by-play critique, and you did this wrong, you did that wrong, and you got to do this and that, and blah, 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 blah. And it's miserable. And so I think it's such good advice. So I'm wondering, from you as a dad and a coach, what are your thoughts about how parents can show up as the best version of themselves?
Yeah. As a coach, it can be challenging, to be a coach and, see the parents on the sidelines. I like to tell parents, your job is to cheer, not to coach. So when you're on the sidelines, cheer for your son, cheer for the team. Don't try to give instruction, because it just sends miscommunication, or they just kind of get, I guess, kind of confused on who they should follow, which direction they should follow. So, I do try to tell the parents, hey, listen, if you want to be a coach, come volunteer and coach. Otherwise, sit on the sideline and enjoy the fun, you know, enjoy watching your son or daughter play. And so I always have that discussion with parents up front before we even start the season. I always have that discussion with parents. But for me, it is kind of a challenge, because I do have the coach hat and I do have the dad hat. And I know those conversations when I'm getting in the car with my boys when they were younger. Now they're grown and out of high school. But my younger son plays college basketball, and he's in the pandemic, so they haven't actually been able to play. But so he plays college basketball. But both my boys played high school sports. They played sports since they were 4 years old. And when I used to take them home from practices or games, my first thing I did is I did not say a word until they did, because I kind of wanted to read how they were feeling. So I never opened my mouth. We got in the car. I never opened my mouth until they started to talk. And if they wanted to talk about the game or they wanted to talk about practice, then I listen and let them talk. Sometimes as parents, we tend to try to fix things too much. We tend to try to jump in and provide advice or guidance or instruction too much. And sometimes what's needed is just to listen. Sometimes they just want to vent. Sometimes they just want to share what they're feeling. And instead of trying to jump in and fix it, we tend to, or kids listen to us and then they get frustrated and then the conversation kind of goes sideways. So first of all, as a coach, I never wore the coach hat in the car. So when I get in the car with my boys, when I was a coach on their teams, when I got in the car, I was back to dad. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm on the court with them, I'm coach. And they referred to me as coach. They didn't refer to me as dad. They referred to me as coach. There's been times where I've had to have other coaches step in to provide instruction or discipline because our kids, you know, my boys sometimes, because I am their dad, kind of took advantage of that and didn't necessarily listen to everything I said. But because I'm their dad, they're kind of used to me. They're around me. They live with me. So I would have other coaches jump in and provide instruction or advice or discipline if needed. So it was very challenging for me as a dad and a coach to separate the two, but I always tried to make sure I was aware of it. And the one thing that I would say as a coach that I took very seriously is I never tried to push on my boys too much. In other words, if my boys wanted to play a sport, I allowed them to play it. And I told them, if you're going to play this sport, you're going to see it through to the end. You're not going to quit. We're not going to get halfway through the season. You're going to quit. You had to see it through. However, if you don't want to play a sport, that's okay too. My wife and I always had one rule. You got to do something outside of school, whether it's, you know, an instrument, you know, playing sports, you know, being in performance somehow. So we always wanted our kids to do something extracurricular outside of school just to kind of gain the kind of the social experience and interact with other people. So that was part of our rule in when they grew up, that my kids just gravitated towards sports. So it made it easy for me. And the reason I took on coaching was because, hey, if I got to drive my kid to the practices and I got to take my kids to the games and watch them play or watch them practice, I might as well get involved and be involved in what they're doing. So that's why I picked up coaching. But for me, it was always frustrating to see parents that would force their kids to play sports, even though they were burnt out or didn't want to play. I coached plenty of kids that really didn't want to be on the court or on the field. They just didn't want to be there. But their parents made them be there. So they weren't all in mentally, like we were talking about before. They weren't all in. And that's the last thing I'd ever do to my boys, or that I would want parents to do to their kids. Let your kids have some fun. And as a coach, I'm all about winning. I love winning. And I'm very competitive and very fiery. But the last thing I want is for you to have a miserable time. When we win, it's a lot of fun. When we lose, it's not a lot of fun, but we learn from those losses. And as I see a lot of parents, or I have seen parents that have just forced their kids to do so much in sports because they're trying to live through their kids' eyes and trying to get them to, you know, it's very challenging. We know with your daughter, we know it's very challenging to get your kid to perform at a college level, to make it on a college team. And then to go beyond that is, I mean, the percentage goes way down, right? So they expect their kids to get to this peak or this elite level. And that's not necessarily going to be the case. Just let your kid be a kid. Just let them have fun. Let them learn. Let them grow. Let them play. Just let them enjoy life. And too many times I saw, you know, people that I knew that just forced sports on their kids. And their kids by the time they're 13, 14 years old, are burned out. They're burned out and they wonder why, you know? So something I never did with my boys, if they wanted my older son, let's give you an example. My older son, he played baseball from the age of 4 all the way up to the age of 10. And baseball was a big part of our lives. We enjoyed baseball. So Both my boys played baseball, but my older son at the age of 10 didn't want to play baseball anymore. He just wanted to play basketball. And I said, okay, that's fine. You want to play basketball? That's fine. He doesn't want to play baseball. Okay, cool. Not a big deal. So my younger son was, you know, he didn't want to play football in high school. A high school team tried to get him to come out for football and he didn't want to play football. He wanted to play basketball. Okay, great. So they focus on something, but, yeah, I never forced my kids into any type of sport that they didn't want to play.
Mm, that's so important. My son also loved baseball and he played from when he was 4 and he played all the way through. Well, let me say he played all the way through ninth grade. He played through ninth grade, but he knew that he wanted to play. He also loved volleyball and he had to make a choice because, baseball is a spring sport and boys volleyball where we live is also a spring sport. And right. So he couldn't do both in high school. And so he made a calculated decision that he felt that he would go further focusing on volleyball because it was a smaller, relatively smaller sport. And he knew even as a ninth grader that he wanted to play in college. And so he thought, well, my chances of the odds of me playing baseball in college versus volleyball, I think I have better odds with volleyball. And so he switched for that reason, not because he didn't like it, the baseball anymore, but he just had to pick one. He couldn't do both. And he did do both in ninth grade. He played spring rec baseball for his age group and high school volleyball. And he was so exhausted because he would have practice 6 days a week for volleyball and games. And then he would have practice one or two nights a week for baseball and then games. And so he was just morning till night, 7 a.m. school, straight through till 9:30 at night. He was exhausted and he was bummed out. And when 10th grade came around, he said, oh, I don't want to stop playing baseball, but I can't do both. I'm too tired.
Right.
So he switched, you know, he made that decision. And I said, you know, there's adult softball leagues and stuff. If you want to continue playing it now or in the future, you can always get back into it.
Yeah.
It's no problem. But one of the things I noticed particularly as he was in that 10 to 14 range, I'm sure you know, baseball ramps up in seriousness and competitiveness very quickly. And there were boys that were in his age group that he played with on teams and stuff. And some of them were really, really talented. I mean, they were just amazing as 9, 10, 11, 12 year olds. But their dads were just driving them. And I would watch these boys pitch on the mound. And like after every pitch, they would look over to their dad, who was a coach, to see if they were getting approval for that pitch, or if they, you know, threw a wild pitch, then they were just like crushed, like, oh my gosh. And you could see that they were feeling the pressure their dads were going to put on them.
Right.
And this was sadly, it was like not 100%, but I'd say like 90% of the dad kid baseball players I saw this happening to. And then age 12, 13, 14, the vast majority of these really talented players just burned the heck out and didn't come back the next year. And each time it would happen, I would be shocked. I understood why they were being burned out because I saw it happening in real time, but so sad because it's like so sad because these boys were really talented and they just didn't like it anymore. They were just done. It was really kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I've seen many cases of that. And it is frustrating to witness because, like you said, you could tell that these kids are, all they're looking for is approval. And when they make the eye contact with their dad to see if they are going to acknowledge whether they did well or didn't do, whether they made a mistake, it's it goes back to the whole mindset, right? I mean, you're taking them out of being focused on what they're supposed to do when they're so worried about just pleasing you. I have a good friend he's a good friend of mine, and he's a was a Major League Baseball player, two-time All-Star. His name's Shea Hillenbrand, but he talks about his story with his dad and how all he was looking for was his dad to love him and approve of what he was doing. And he just felt this added weight, this added pressure through his life, you know, playing in high school and then in college and then into the major leagues. And all he was looking for was just the approval of his dad. And it always seemed like all he every single time he stepped onto the field, he just wanted to show his dad or get his dad's approval, and he never got it. And so it was frustrating to him, carrying on into his professional career. I mean, now he's at the elite level. He's an all-star player, and he's still looking for his dad's approval. And it just goes back to when he was in playing rec ball and playing high school baseball. And these kids, they are sensitive, but a lot of times they're just looking for their parents' approval, and they want that love. And carrying on to that, it goes on the flip side too. You have a lot of kids that I coach, a lot of boys that don't have parents that show up at all. And that's the same kind of dynamic, whether they're there harping at them, pointing out the things they're doing wrong, or they're not there. It's the same kind of thing. I have players that I've coached over the years that parents never came to a single game. Wow. Now, some parents, they have to work, sometimes sure. The work conflicts and all that. I get that. But when you have parents that just never show, I've known players that I've never met their parents.
Wow.
And it's so sad, because here I am being a coach, but I'm also like a father figure to them, because mm-hmm. they don't have the father figure around or the parent around. And it's frustrating to me, and it's sad to see. But I do the best I can as a coach. I try to instill them the values and wisdom that, at the best that I can, and try to teach them at a high level, try to teach them how to be a competitor, but try to teach them values and principles that will help carry them on as an adult into their adult life. So I've had players that have reached out to me after high school and have said, hey, I just want to sit down with you and have a meal with you and just kind of figure out what I need to do with my life. And maybe you could give me some guidance and direction. And I've done that. I've met with players. Wow. I've sat down and kind of gone through, what are your goals? What are your ambitions? What do you want to do? They're 20 years old. What do you want to do for your life? Where do you want to go? What kind of dreams do you have? And help them write kind of goals and a game plan to help them achieve what they want to achieve. So it warms my heart that happens, but it also hurts my heart, because I know that they don't have that leadership at home that they really need. So.
Well, it's those boys were lucky to have you cross paths into their lives so that they could get that wonderful guidance from somewhere.
Thank you.
And it also kind of makes me think that, or I guess a way to easily summarize what we're talking about here, is that there's a nice, healthy middle ground for parents to fall into when their kids are athletes, or whether they're in the band at school, or whether they're mm-hmm. in the school play, or whatever it is they're doing, the debate club, what have you. But just to show up as often as you can. If you have to work, you have to work. You can't do anything about that, or whatever extenuating circumstances. But show up the best you can when you can. Support them. Cheer them on. Don't pick apart every single thing they do. Let them know how much fun it is to watch them do the thing that they love. And just, like you said, be their biggest cheerleader. I think that's the best place for a parent to land. And then if you happen to also be their coach, you have to know when to put which hat on and keep those roles kind of well-defined and separated when you're a parent and a coach at the same time.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I take it a step further. When you're watching your kid play a sport or watching your kid in a performance, whether it's musical or play or whatever it is, or playing an instrument, when we go and watch them do this as parents, really the only person we're really watching is them. We're watching our kid.
Right.
We can see all the other kids, but we're really focused on our kid. What is our kid doing? How is our kid performing? How is our kid playing? But parents don't think about this. When your kids are on the court, on the field, on the stage, when they're performing, the one person that they're watching is you.
Is you.
They're watching you as a parent. They don't care about all the other parents there. They want to see you watching them. Mm-hmm. And so it's super important to kind of realize that as parents, because I think that helps kind of change the perspective of, hey, my kids are watching me. They want to know that I'm here supporting them. So I'm going to do the best I can to be their cheerleader, to be that support for them.
I think that's such a good point. And I think I've said that to particularly to my daughter many times, because she gets very nervous before games and things like that. And I have said to her, honey, even though they're, well, not in the pandemic, there aren't going to be a bunch of people in the stands, but pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, even though there may be a bunch of people in the stands, a bunch of other parents, they're not looking at you.
Right.
They're only looking at their own kid. They're right. only worried about what their own kid is doing. And if you do well, they'll cheer. And if you mess up, it's okay. So it's fine.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's definitely true that parents are only really paying the most attention to their kid. And the kids are really paying only the most attention to hopefully what their parents are, if their parents are noticing and looking and cheering. Yep. And yeah. I think that's really true.
Absolutely.
Well, gosh, this has been such a wonderful chat that we've had today, yeah. Brian. This is really fun. I love hearing from dads because it's, I think the luckiest kids are kids who have both parents on board and working together. We're not always going to be on the same page, like you said, but if we're just working together as a team, to try mm-hmm. to do the best we can for our kids, I think that's when kids really win. When yeah, all absolutely. Parents, and if the parents are divorced and if they're remarried, whatever, as long as all the parents involved in the child's life are doing their best to be a team player in that parenting effort, I think that's when kids really win.
Yep, absolutely agree. And I just want to say thank you again for having me on, asking me to come on. I get an opportunity to share about not only my dad experiences, but also the coaching side, two sides that are very important in my life. I always am honored. So I appreciate what you're doing and appreciate everything that you represent, and look forward to staying connected with you in the future. So thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. And if you want to connect with Brian, make sure to look him up, Dad Up Podcasts on Instagram. And if you happen to be on Clubhouse, you can find Brian and I both on Clubhouse, where we seem to constantly be bumping into each other in rooms, having these great conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Reach out to me. Always feel free to DM me. I do check all my DMs. So anybody that wants to reach out for tips, advice, just to connect, I'm always available. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brian. I loved our chat, and we'll have to do this again soon. And that wraps up today's episode. So wherever you are in this world, I hope that you are being a team player in your child's life. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.